God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Well, y'all seem to enjoy that. She can come back and sing it again if you want. And, you know, when God is does so many things in our life, we take so much for granted. And we do not realize not just how good a God he is, but how great a God. He supersedes everything that you can imagine in life. And if you're here this morning, if you've never, you say, well, I've experienced, preacher, the goodness of God. That's wonderful. I'm glad. But I want you to experience the greatness of God. And that's what he desires. Listen, you know what? He thrills and he is excited to do those type of things for you. Don't ever think that God doesn't know who you are, where you are, or that he doesn't care about your particular situation. He does care about you. And he has great plans for you if you'll just let him orchestrate those in your life. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Take your Bible, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter number 23. We're going to read two verses for the message this morning. Matthew chapter 23. Now, while you're turning there, just to save us from reading the previous 22 verses, Jesus is dealing here with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, for those of you that may not be as familiar with your Bible as some, or maybe you haven't been a Christian very long, and let me just say this, that the scribes and Pharisees, these were the religious people of the day. These were the people that everyone looked to for direction in the day of Jesus Christ. And yet they took the influence that they could have had, and they took the opportunities that were at their fingertips and they wasted them. They put their emphasis on things that were very small, and they neglected the things that were very, very important. And so he begins to address them, and he begins to tell them, woe this and woe that. And for sake of time, you can read that, and that's what he's doing in the first 22 verses. Stand with me, if you would, please. We're going to read two verses as he comes to the woe of verse number 23 in Matthew 23. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier things of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says, and listen, I'm not talking, he said, I'm not saying, Mr. Pharisee, that it's wrong to tithe off of what you said. That's not what I'm saying. He said, but what you're doing is you're trying to hold people to all these little minute standards in life, and you're forgetting the influential things. He says, you're looking, he says, what you're doing is you're promoting a works-oriented lifestyle, and you're forgetting about the grace of God. And he said, so you ought to have done these things and not to leave the other undone. Now I want you to notice the analogy that Jesus makes here. He says, you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I want to take that verse this morning and I want to speak to you in a question form. Have you swallowed a camel lately? Have you swallowed a camel lately? And you'll understand as I get further in the message the application. Father, would you bless now the needs of our life this morning? Would you open our heart, our mind to what you have for us? We're so thankful for the privilege to be in church. We realize, Lord, many across the world do not have the privilege that we have today. We do not want to take it for granted. So speak to us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Oftentimes, Jesus would use illustrations involving drastic contrast, either to prove a point or to teach a truth or to provoke thought. Many of you had teachers in school, and a lot of times they would do things. I remember teachers growing up in school, and it seemed like one of their desires in life and one of their focuses in life was to provoke us to thought. Now, that wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. And here, many times in Jesus' ministry, he would use things as an illustration that were in drastic contrast one to another. Why? To get your attention. Here in this passage of Scripture, he compares a gnat with a camel, something very small to something very large. And in comparing these, and in the comparison, he gives the process that most of the Jews would identify with. So he uses the process. He said, you strain at a gnat, and yet you swallow a camel. So here the analogy he's making of consuming something, right? Because if you're going to swallow something, you're going to have to consume it. Well, there was a process that scholars tell us that were very familiar to the Jews in this day, that many times they didn't have the sanitary things that we have today. They didn't have the filtering processes that we have today. And many times in their water, or many times they would drink the fruit of the vine or wine, and they would look down in there, and sometimes there would be bugs that would be in there, and they would have to strain them out. And because they were in the drink and they didn't want to swallow those. And so what they would do is they would very carefully inspect it in order to make sure that all of that was strained and filtered out. Now, a gnat would not be very difficult to swallow, right? Even if you swallowed, you're probably not going to get sick. But listen to it, it's just the thought of swallowing one, right? It's just the thought of ingesting one, of swallowing one. You don't like that. But may I say this to you? Jesus compared a gnat, something very small, to something, a gnat not difficult to swallow, to a camel, which would be very difficult to swallow, right? Anybody in here ever been challenged to swallow a camel? Now the thing about it, if somebody challenged you to swallow a gnat and they challenged you or dared you, some of you would probably do that. Because it's possible for that to happen. But if somebody says, I dare you to swallow that camel, that's a totally different story, isn't it? Because humanly speaking, you're thinking, this is not possible. I can ingest a gnat, but I cannot swallow a a camel. Well, listen to me, folks. Jesus, though he used something very small and something very large, was making an application here. He wasn't talking to them necessarily about ingesting a gnat and then going out and swallowing a camel. What he was focusing on is, he said, too many of you put emphasis on very small things, and then you de-emphasize very important things. Isn't it amazing how that what's important in our lives is what's important to us, and not necessarily what's important to God? And what he was pointing out, he says, listen, there's some of these things I'm telling you, these are not wrong things to do. He says, but what you're doing is you're overemphasizing your burn on one side and roll on the other. He says, you're straining at a gnat, and yet in the meantime, swallowing a camel. Jesus often used these kinds of types of contrast. If you'll remember back a few, you're close by, go back to Matthew 19. Let me show you another contrast that he used using a camel. Very popular animal that day. Why? Because it was very large. Matthew 19 in verse number 24. Matthew 19, verse 24. Well, look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me just stop and say this if you're new to your Bible. He's not saying that people that have a little bit of wealth can't go to heaven. All right? What he's saying is people who put emphasis on things, people who put emphasis on popularity, people who put emphasis on those areas, and it's all about them, are the ones that are going to find it very difficult to put their faith and trust in Christ. He says, before that day will happen, a camel will slide through the eye of a needle. You say, that's not possible. Well, according to God, everything's possible. But what he was using was a contrast to show the difficulty of that. Now, go back to chapter 23. Chapter 23. Now, you say, preacher, it's impossible to swallow a camel. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, I want to say this. It's no more impossible than for people trying to get to heaven through any other way besides Jesus Christ. You see, the thing about it is you're not going to get into the presence of God. You're not going to make it through the gates of heaven. You're not going to end up in heaven when you die without Jesus, folks. He says, you know what will happen before that happens? A camel will go through the eye of a needle. Or you will see a human being ingest a camel before a person will get into heaven. You say, well, it's not possible. And neither is it possible to get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ either. You see, the problem with the Pharisees was they had many problems. But let me give you a couple of the problems here before I get into the message. First of all, they were all external and very little internal. It was all about outside. It was all about their position. It was all about their influence. It was all about what they were and not necessarily about who they could influence for right. They were very external and very little internal. You know what they want to do? You may put it in common day vernacular. What they wanted to do is they wanted to be cool. I told my Sunday school class I hadn't been called cool in a long time. But this week, somebody called me cool. First time since the 1970s that I've been called cool. And, you know, I thought about those of you that were raised in that generation, the 60s and 70s, you thought all this was gone, didn't you? You thought all the platform shoes, the bell-bottom pants, you thought all the dude and the cool, and you thought all that was gone. No, it'll be back around, just like what happened to some of you in the 80s and 90s that's uncool to you. It'll be back around. Give it about 10 or 15 years. You see, what I'm saying is the Pharisees, they were all external and very little internal. You've heard me say this, and I want to say it again, that Christianity has always been designed to start internally and work its way externally. It never designed to start its way outside and work its way inside. But that's how the Pharisees worked it. And they were external and very little internal. The second thing I noticed about this crowd was this. They spent the majority of their time making sure that their social life was in order and in its proper place. Isn't it amazing how everybody's trying to find their little niche in life? Everybody's trying to wallow out their little place in the food chain. Everybody's trying to find their place so that everybody will look at them and think that they're cool, or look at them and think that, boy, you're somebody, or, man, you've got things on the wall. Everybody seems to be trying to find their little niche in society and become something. Because, listen, what we desire is we desire the praises of men rather than the praise of God. And that's what the Pharisees were. They were so external, but they spent all of their time looking for their social place in life rather than their place in the eyes of God. The next thing I noticed about them was this. They gave detail to the little things. They gave detail to little things. Do you know people that make a mountain out of a molehill? That are extremely in their life, their things are exaggerated to the nth degree. Kids are kind of like that. And by the way, if you're a believer this morning and you have difficulty with that, shows you the level of your Christianity. Children do a lot of exaggerating when it comes to things. They can scratch their knee and they'll give you the story about how dramatic this all happened, when really all they did was just fall down and skin their knee, right? And so a lot of times they get very dramatic. But in this particular case, the Pharisees were very precise in their tithe. They would sit down and count out all a tenth of their mint, a tenth of their anise, and a tenth of their cumin. They were so concerned about the little things. Now the Lord said, that's not wrong to do what you're doing. But the thing about it is, you can't do one thing and then neglect all the rest of it. Now, giving a tithe, according to Scripture here, these things were not wrong. It was the right thing to do. The problem was they were very conscious of the gnat in the glass, and they gave a lot of time to strain it out. In other words, they wanted to be seen. They didn't just want a tithe, they wanted to be seen doing it. They didn't just want to pray, they wanted to be external about it. They wanted people to say, man, look at there, this people pray. Boy, look at that. Those people put their tithes and offerings in. Look at that. Listen, if that's what we're doing for, the Scripture says you got your reward. If that's what you wanted, a pat on the back, then that's what you got. And yet here these men emphasize so much of the external. They were so desirous about their and working on their social life. And then they put a lot of detail to little things. Now, the next thing I noticed about them was this. They neglected the weightier things. They magnified the little things, and they neglected the weightier things, is how Jesus spoke of it. They neglected the weightier things of life that directly, listen now, could have influenced and affected people's life for eternity. They had the opportunity, they had the means and the influence to reach people. Problem is, they weren't even Christians and saved themselves. Why? Because of the emphasis on the gnat. And yet they were swallowing a camel. Some time ago, someone sent me, I guess it was from church here, someone sent me an email. And I don't know why they sent me this, but they did. And but they sent me an email, and it had an attachment, and I went on there, and it had a video of a python. And it showed this python attack this 10 or 12 foot alligator, I think it was. And this python wrapped itself around this alligator and crushed that alligator and then commenced to swallow the alligator whole. Now, it was quite an amazing thing, because if you'd have told me before that snake, whose head was about this big around and his mouth was about that, was going to swallow an alligator, I'd have told you, you're nuts. That thing is that. But you know, I watched it happen. And listen, he consumed that alligator absolutely whole. And listen, here's what happened. Once he ate the alligator, he couldn't move. He couldn't. Now listen, here's what happened. Because he couldn't move, he got stuck out in the sun. And guess what happens when you begin to bake and that alligator inside his gut, and he began to expand and exploded. Now listen to me. You know why? What he did is because he was hungry, but he didn't think about the consequences of eating the whole thing. You see, the thing about it is today, a lot of times we neglect the most important things in life and we don't even think about it until we explode. And then we explode and say, wait a minute, I don't think I should have ignored that. Now here's what that python was thinking. Man, I ain't going to have to eat for a month. Now, listen, he didn't think anything about, wait a minute, I can't even move now. I can't even, and listen, that thing got stuck there and parched out in the sun and exploded. But you know, that python's not a whole lot different than most people. You know what it should have stuck to? It should have stuck to eating the small things. But no. It wanted to ingest the big stuff. The problem is, when it did, it gave no concern about the consequences. It didn't even think about those things. You see, Jesus compared the attention of these Pharisees and these scribes to Mint, Annas, and Cummin, the gnat, the lighter things, with the attention that they did not give to judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, go in your Bible, if you would, and I want to look at verse 23 for just a second. And before I get there, let me just say this. The Pharisees, their eyes were on their outward social position rather than their inward godly position. The problem was their minds were out of balance. Let me ask you something. What are you emphasizing in life? Where is your emphasis today? Is it on things that are going to matter in eternity, or are you emphasizing things in life that are going to burn up, that aren't going to matter once eternity comes? You see, they gave their attention to the things that benefited them in the eyes of men. That was the gnat. And they gave no attention to the things that related to the heart, the things that related to changes and the influence on the life of a person. They swallowed the camel with unconcern. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning is Jesus' intent was simply this: to point out our priorities in life. Listen, not based on what you think they are, but based on what He thinks they are and what He says that they are. You see, to show us how much time and effort that we invest in things that's not going to matter in eternity. And Jesus wants us to refocus today. You know what He wants us to focus on, folks? He wants us to focus on the weightier things, the things that are actually going to matter. I think if you look at verse 23, you'll see three things that He mentioned that the Pharisees were putting their attention on: Mint, Annas, and Cummin. He says, you're putting your attention on to these little things, and yet you're forgetting the weightier things: judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, there's an interesting comparison to Mint, Annas, and Cummin to judgment, mercy, and faith. And that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to make the analogy to these herbs or spices compared to what Jesus talked about judgment, mercy, and faith. You see, the herbs and spices were the gnat. The judgment, mercy, and faith was the camel. How many of us, we know these things, and we know about these things, but what we do is we let them go over our head, or we do not practice them, and we just kind of ignore them in our life. These are areas that the Pharisees struggle with. They were real big about pointing out little things, but they were very neglecting when it came about the big things. And we'll look at that in just a second. Because I believe this verse, Jesus is looking at these Pharisees because He was saying, woe to them, hypocrites, because of this, folks. He was referring to their relationships. It was all about their relationships. Because He was talking about how they treated people and various things of that matter. So I want to take advantage of verse 23 and ask you simply the question: have you swallowed a camel lately? Have you neglected the weightier things in life and you've put the emphasis on the little things? Well, first of all, if you look in verse number 23, Jesus references here that they paid tithe of mint. Now, I'm not a big herb guy. My wife likes all these kind of things, so she could probably do a better job as far as explaining what mint is. But I went and checked mint out just to find out what kind of usage mint has. I want you to listen. Mint was one of those herbs that was somewhat of a social type herb. It was used a lot of time in that day for fragrance. People a lot of time would take mint and they would either crunch it up or they would hang it in places because it gave a fragrance to the entire room. Many times you could walk in and if people had it out, you could smell the fragrance of the mint in the room. It was a very social type of herb. And it filled the room. It was used to freshen the air. It was used for public pleasure of everyone. Now, Jesus said, you Pharisees, He said, you know what, you put all this emphasis on the mint, on the actual plant, He says, but you should put emphasis on the weightier things in judgment. Here, I believe, the first thing I want to point out this morning is this. I believe when Jesus was referring to judgment, I think he was referring to these Pharisees' relationships with others. Their relationship with others. Listen, remember he used the mint? I think the mint lines up very well with judgment or our relationship with others. Our relationship with people is a public thing. He was talking to them about how they treated other people. You see, what they were doing is they spent all of their time trying to impress people. That was the gnat. That was the little thing. You see, they wanted to be accepted. They wanted to be loved. They wanted to be praised in all things. And may I say to you this morning, the trap that we step into today is comparing ourselves with each other. And we're all guilty of it. Amen. You can just nod amen right there. If not, I'll amen for you, okay? We all are guilty of comparing ourselves with other people. You say, like hell, we compare ourselves with each other on how we look. And do you know God designed you and created you the way that He wanted you to look? And for you to compare yourself with someone else is not wise because God never meant it or intended it to be that way. You see, so many times we put the emphasis on how we look and our features, and yet God made you exactly like He wanted you. Stop focusing on the gnat, because if you're not careful, you're going to swallow the camel, the thing that's important. We emphasize, listen, we put way too much emphasis on our looks, folks. Now, I'm not against looking good and smelling good, right? But let me tell you something. It's so blown out of proportion today in our society. I mean, people are starting their kids when they're barely out of diapers, entering into these Miss America pageants or Miss Baby America or whatever they do. Why? Because there's so much emphasis on the appearance today, on how we look. And then the thing about it is, if you're not part of the beautiful people, then you're on the outside. That's our society today. It's a gnat is what it is. And he says the thing about it is we look at those things and those things become important to us. You see, that mint that they hung in the home, it was a social type of herb. And it gave fragrance to everything in the room. And yet, you know what? Our relationships, that's how we're supposed to be with people. Do you know what's important? Jesus takes notice how you treat people and how that you deal with people. We compare ourselves physically. Listen, we compare ourselves socially. We don't have something someone else has. Or their house is bigger than ours. Or their car's nicer than mine. Or they make more money on the job than I may. And we compare ourselves socially with people. And then we compare ourselves financially with people. You see, we get in a mode of comparing ourselves among ourselves. And listen to me, folks. We exhaust ourselves. We overextend ourselves. We examine ourselves to the point to where most people get discouraged. They get discontent. Why? Because they don't match up the way somebody else looks. Or they don't match up with what somebody else's place in society. Or they don't match up with somebody else's financial success. And they literally exhaust themselves trying to find that niche. You know what you're doing? Listen to me. That's going to be a gnat in your life. What it is, you're going to strain at the thing that is not going to matter a hill of beans when it comes to eternity. And you're going to lose and ignore the weightier things. You say, what are the weightier things? Well, here, the Pharisees, their relationship with others, they were so important about finding their little niche in society that here's the camel they swallowed. The camel is they neglected putting forth the effort at trying to treat people right. Treat them right. You know, it's okay. I know this is that for some of the younger generation, this is going to be like foreign language to you. But you know, I was raised in a generation that it was just the right thing to do to say yes, sir. And no, sir. And yes, ma'am. And no, ma'am. It was the right thing to do when I was growing up. If a lady, even if I was a kid, I held the door open. The lady went through first, and then I went through. There were times that I did that and went in front of my mom. That didn't happen often. Why? Because listen, folks, we need to learn how to do right again. And reculture ourselves and doing the right thing. What's happening is we're straining at the gnat of trying to find out where our little niche in society so that we can be cool, so that people will recognize us, and we're swallowing the camel and forgetting how to treat people right. We need to be respectful to people. We need to be kind and hospitable to people. I met a family this week that had visited our church 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, how did y'all find out about the church? And they said, they said, it's funny, we were at Walmart and we kind of got in a situation and there we didn't know what we was going to do. And I guess one of our folks, maybe one of you in this room, overheard the conversation and not only said, listen, can I help out? And ended up helping these people with a financial need that they had. And that's how they came and visited our church. That's called hospitality, folks. That's called treating people. There was a need and somebody was kind enough to meet that need. Hey, listen, we just need to be honest and transparent with people. Hey, listen, folks, you know what we need to take the attitude of? We need to take the attitude of, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. Did you notice here that Jesus said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, they were pretending to be something they weren't. They were pretending to be these real spiritual people that gave a tithe. But the problem is, they were neglecting judgment. Hey, yeah, they hung the mint in the house. Everything was so refreshing in their home. The problem is, they were mistreating people. You see, we expect to be treated properly, don't we? If you expect to be treated properly, then you need to treat people properly. Remember the scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. Listen now. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You listen, you want people to respect you? Then respect people. You want people to be kind to you? Then you be kind to people. You see, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, listen, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. He said, you're straining at a gnat. You're nitpicking all of these other things. You're comparing all of these other things, looking for your place in the social order of life. And you're neglecting the most important things. Oh yeah, that mint was a fragrance to the whole room. But can I say, how you treat people is either a testimony for Jesus or a testimony against Him. It is either promoting Him or not promoting Him. Listen, it's a testimony about your church, or it's a good testimony about your church, or a bad testimony about your church. He said, you're straining at a gnat and you swallow a camel. He said, I need to address the relationship you Pharisees are having with others. But I want you to look at the second thing real quick. He compared not only mint and judgment, he compared an herb or a spice called anise. Now, anise is quite an unusual type of spice. It was an herb that was used for a lot of personal things. They used it some in cooking, but you know what they used it a lot in this day for? They used it a lot in this day to treat internal medical issues and illnesses. They would mix up concoctions and stuff, and they would take it for various illnesses. So now Jesus says, listen, now your relationship with others, that represented the mint. The mint would fragrance the whole room. It was a beautiful thing. It smelled wonderful. But he says, now I need to turn inward for just a minute. And he says, you've neglected the weightier things of mercy. That's our relationship with ourself. That's our relationship with ourself. Here's the gnat in the ointment. Here's the gnat in the glass here. We overlook and excuse in our own life what we condemn in others. Amen, preacher. Here's what we do. We don't think our sin's near as bad as somebody else's. Right? Because, by the way, their motive was wrong. My motive was right. And so we look at things from a totally different perspective, which is exactly what these Pharisees did. You see, the thing is, he was talking about their relationship with themselves, their internal relationship. You see, we accept our faults as our besetting sins, and they are not really, would you say, hey, preacher, they're not really hurting anybody, didn't hurt anything. You see, what we do is we condemn in someone else what we condone in ourselves. Jesus used to illustration this in Matthew 7. Remember this? Remember the illustration he talked about how it's easy to point out the mote, something very large in someone else's eye, and we forget about the beam, something very small and quick in our eye? You see, my point is simply that here Jesus was trying to get them to look inwardly now. He says, I've addressed now your relationship with others. He said, now I need to address the relationship with you, with what's going on in your life. That's what anise was. That's what this type of herb was. It was used to treat internal illnesses and internal issues. You see, we don't think that God is really concerned since my sin only involved me. You see, we think, well, if it only involved me, then you know what? It's no big deal. But if you've been around long enough, you understand that everything that you do always hurts and involves someone else at some point. It starts with you, but eventually it's going to involve someone else. You see, we extend mercy to self, but think nothing of pointing out the mote or the sins in other people's lives. You see, the thing about it is, what we'll do is we'll go and we'll point out someone talking about someone else. We'll say, you know what, you ought not to do that. And then we'll go gossip about something in church. And we don't see any difference in that. Or we will criticize something on the job. And then what we'll do is we'll condone something like that, but then we'll come and just think nothing about what we do here in our service for God or how we talk and deal with things about the church. You see, the gnat that he was pointing out here was the idea of them condoning in their own lives what they were condemning in others. Now, here's the camel that they swallowed. And that was this: prioritizing the things that were important to God. The camel, what they ignored was what was priority to God. You see, they were only focusing on what was priority to them. They were neglecting what was priority to God. And what's priority to God is a diligent effort to know what God expects from you and then just do it. Find out what He wants you to do and do it. Listen, most of you that have been hired on a job, your employer didn't hire you and just say, okay, now get to work. Well, what do you want me to do? I'll just do anything. Doesn't matter what you do. Just go do whatever. Well, I mean, but don't I need to know something? Don't I need to sign? Oh, you don't have to sign no papers. Just get to work. Now, you're going to feel pretty uncomfortable about that, right? Why? Because there's no direction. And yet God is wanting you and I to give diligent effort to know what He expects. And the only way you're going to know what He expects, you're going to have to know a little bit about the book. You're going to have to know a little bit more about what's going on in the spiritual realm and in the church. And then once you find out, then just do it. Just do what you know to be the right thing to do. And then there needs to be a desire to stay right with God. You know, often I get the question, preacher, how do I stay right with God? How do I stay in the favor of God? Here's my answer, very, very simple. Be a good confessor. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the Scripture says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, David had a lot of faults, but you know one of the things that he was good at? Confessing. Yeah, oh yeah, he had a lot of problems. It cost him dearly. But the thing about it is, you know why he became the apple of God's eye? You know why he became a man after God's own heart? Because he understood what it was to confess. He was very transparent. He knew what it was to just open up and say, God, I was wrong, you were right. And then he just said, okay, now what do I need to do to make it right? That's what he was saying here. He's saying, you Pharisees, you're swallowing the camel. What you're doing is you're ignoring the small things and neglecting and putting emphasis on the small things and neglecting the big things. And then I think he was pointing out here the demands of being a testimony for Christ. Now I want to say this here. Salvation is only the beginning of your Christianity. It doesn't make you a total Christian, a well-rounded, mature Christian. But you know what it does? It does give you a starting point. And now it's up to you to cultivate that. After salvation, begin to cultivate the things that you know as far as the principles and teachings of the book. Christians live for Christ. They speak out for Christ. They promote the message of Christ. So, Jesus said, I need to address you guys on your relationship with other people. He compared it to the mint. Mint fragrances the whole room. It's outward. And then he says, I need to talk to you a little bit for just a minute about your relationship with you. He said, that's the anise. That's what they used to use for medication so that people would ingest and take it for internal illnesses. But he had one left. And he compared that to cumin. If you've ever cooked with cumin, it also has a very particular smell. It also has a very peculiar taste. But the thing I found out about cumin was a spice whose value and content, listen now, existed in and within the seed. Its essence is internal and must be extracted. It has a distinct look. It has a distinct smell to it. If you've ever been in a home with somebody cooking with cumin, you know it the moment you walk in the door. Because it permeates. Why? Because its essence must be extracted. Listen to me. He said that you have given emphasis and put emphasis on things like cumin and you've neglected faith. You've neglected faith. You see, faith is my inward condition. And here's the third thing. He said, I've addressed your relationship with others, your relationship with you. He said, now I need to address your relationship with God. With God. You see, the thing about it is salvation takes place inwardly. And it starts inwardly and begins to work its way outwardly. That's where the essence of cumin is. Once people use it, it starts inwardly. Once they begin to cook with it, then that fragrance begins to permeate and begins to affect everything in the food and even in the house. You see, cumin had an inward value that had to be extracted. And I'm here to tell you, here's the gnat. The gnat is people think that God will accept them one day into heaven just like they are. They think that God's just going to accept them because, by the way, you don't understand, God, how I was raised and all the things that I went through and how bad an atmosphere that I was raised in. Don't you understand, God? You've got to accept me. No, He doesn't. There's one way and one way only. And that way is the way of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, he addressed the Pharisees' relationship with other people, with themselves, and then he says, now I need to tell you something. You're lost. You're lost without God if you don't have Christ, and you've never put your faith and trust. He said, you're straining at all of these little things, and you're forgetting your own soul. You think about, man, I got to put more money in my pocket. Well, let me ask you this. Whose money is that going to be after you're gone? Oh, I got to have more things. Well, whose things are those going to be after you're gone? You see, we put emphasis on the things that aren't going to matter in all of eternity, and we forget the weightier things. Well, here's the important thing. Here's the big thing, and that's this. God will accept you only by Jesus Christ. That's it. And you know what the Pharisees did? They could accept all the works-oriented stuff, but they just couldn't accept Jesus. You see, they had strained at all of the little things, the gnats, but they just could not ingest. They just could not, in any shape, form, they just couldn't accept Christ. So you know what they did? They just let it go right over their head. And you know where it led them eventually? To crucify the Son of God. That's where it led them. It led them to separate themselves from God even further than they already had. And if you keep straining at the gnat and neglecting the weightier things in life, what it's going to do is it's going to cause you to become more and more distant from God. I just want to ask you, have you swallowed a camel lately? Have you ingested things and just let them kind of just go by the wayside? Oh, well, that's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's great. When's the last time you've contacted somebody in church that's a shut-in? When's the last time you've sent a card or a letter to someone that was ill? When's the last time that you've picked up the phone and called somebody just to be an encouragement to them? Just say, listen, I just want to let you know I love you and appreciate you, all that you do around the church. I wonder how many have done that. You see, that's the camel. Have you swallowed one of them lately? Most of us, we get so intent on the gnat, on the small things. And yet, the weightier things today, if you're here without Christ, it's your soul. It's not about social status. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's about your soul. Don't allow those things to pass you by this morning while you're looking and straining at, well, I don't know all the Bible. Well, my goodness, if I had to know all the Bible to be saved, I'd still be lost. You say, well, I don't know everything about the church. I can't be here all the time. Don't let the gnat keep you from doing the right thing this morning. Would you bow your heads for just a moment with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, I'm not even ashamed of it. Just slip it up. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm a born-again child of God. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Nobody's looking but me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a time of reverence. This is a time, very, very important time in our church worship service. There were some people that could not raise their hands and say that they had been sincerely and truly born again. Would you at least let me pray for you this morning? You're in church. Would you be honest and say, preacher, if I died right where I am, if I died this afternoon, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I've got some doubt about it. Say, it's not that I don't want to go to heaven. Preacher, I do. It's just that I just don't know. I have that insecurity. And you'd at least let me pray for you. You say, preacher, that's me. Nobody's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody join this one? God bless you. There's two. Say, preacher, that's me. I've never had a born-again experience with Christ. Just slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Anybody? Anybody? God bless you. There's three. Anybody will join these three? God bless you. There's four. Anybody will join these four? Say, preacher, that's me. Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. At least let me pray for you. God bless you. There's a fifth one right there. You can slip your hands down. Anybody will join these? Say, preacher, that's me. There's five that were honest. God bless you. There's a sixth one right there. All right? Anybody else? Just slip it up. Be honest. Be honest. We're talking about, folks, a huge thing in your life. We're talking about your soul. Anybody will join these six? Anybody? All right? Then maybe you're here this morning and you're already a child of God. You're already a born-again believer. And you'd say this morning, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I need to get that bit of that thing corrected in my life. I need to get that done in my life. Please pray for me that I'll obey God in that area of my life. Nobody's looking at me. Say, preacher, I've been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. That's me. God bless you and you. All right? Anybody else will join these two? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. You can put your hands down. God bless you. All right? Anybody will join these two? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? God bless you. There's three right there. Anybody else? Say, preacher, been saved, never been baptized. Anybody else? All right? Then one last thing. Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I'm a child of God. Maybe you're a church member. Maybe you're visiting this morning, whatever the case may be. And you would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I've fallen into that trap. I have in some areas of my life. I've been focusing on some of the small things that probably aren't going to matter a whole lot in eternity. And I've been neglecting some of the bigger things that are going to matter. Maybe it's your church attendance. Maybe it's your giving to the church. Maybe it's your service. Maybe it's how you've been treating people. Maybe you haven't been treating people right. Whatever the case may be. Maybe it's your relationship with others, yourself, or with your God. You say, preacher, I've got some areas in my life I need to focus on. I've been focusing on the gnat and swallowing the camel. Would you be honest and say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. Don't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I'm just going to ask you this morning to have this invitation the way that you want it done. That you would take control, Lord, and those that need to be saved, these six people that raised their hand, that today would be the day of their salvation. Please don't let them put it off. Lord, they're going to go out into eternity one day. This could be the last opportunity for them to trust Christ. Some this morning, Lord God, need to be baptized. They've already become a believer. They just need to put their faith and trust in Christ. Would you do your work, please, this morning? Move in their life to come and obey you and do the right thing. And then, Lord, there were a great number of hands of people that raised their hand and said they've been straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel. They've kind of got sidetracked on focusing on some small things and forgot about the bigger things, the weightier things in life. Would you help us to get those corrected this morning? And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and praise for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. Would you come? Listen, if you raised your hand and said, I need to be saved, please don't walk out this morning without knowing Christ. Come on, we'll have somebody take you aside to show you out of the Bible how to trust Jesus. Come on. Come on, if you raised your hand, this is your opportunity. If you raised your hand, say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. Would you come?" Come on, this is your opportunity to come. Come on, come on. God's waiting on you. This is it. This is it. Come on down. Come on, we'll wait on you. Come on, we'll be patient with you. Oh, this is an important time. Oh, this is a time where people are making life-changing decisions. Come on. Come on. We're going to keep singing as people come. When people stop coming, we'll stop singing. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Hey, listen, if you've been